took the nails for me.
This is Glorious Day, a program that grew from a vision.
A vision to support our brother and sister Christians.
And those who are still seeking Jesus.
By applying God's word to the everyday concerns and challenges that we all face today.
We are two local pastors who love Jesus.
And his people.
And he wants us to strengthen his disciples.
To get stronger, because God's promised revival is on the way.
Welcome to another episode of Glorious Day. I'm Pastor Dave.
This is Pastor Barry.
And we're happy to be back with you and to share with you. And our particular mission in the next three programs, tonight and the next two following, is kind of after the midterms, Barry, because, you know, and many people were hanging their spiritual hats on the this red wave that people have been talking about.
Sure. Yeah.
And, of course, it depends on how you define a wave, you know. I mean, we're not trying to get political here, but we have to do talk about this because those who are in our government, they're bringing their attitudes, you know, their expectations, their prejudices, everything that they are into their office.
Well, sure, David. That's why we were saying you need to pull those curtains in the voting booth and connect up with God.
Yes.
Because as we were voting, if more and more people did just that, David, yeah. I think the election would look a little bit, the results would look a little bit different right now. But I think that people have certain habits they need to maybe kick to the side. Old voting habits.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, definitely.
I remember my grandmother saying that she would only vote for Democrats, and my father was a staunch Republican, my grandfather. And he would get into Italian arguments with her because she canceled them out every time they went to the polls. He tried to leave her home.
Well, yeah, but, you know, today we really emphasize, you know, you go out and vote. I don't care what you think, you know. Mostly the fact that your vote doesn't count is a big lie.
Yes, and if you think that other people are going to cover your vote because you just don't have the energy, that's not true.
Yeah. And while we're not really being political here, we are being sort of governmental because the end result is the people who are elected in the midterms are going to take office. Some were reelected, and then there's some new people.
Mm-hmm.
And if we look at the... It looks right now where we're recording, not every seat has been, checked out.
Oh, no, they're still counting votes.
They're still counting votes, and mm-hmm. some states, their process is very slow. But in the end, we'll probably see, a Republican majority in the House and might even see a Republican majority in the Senate. But here again, we're just pointing out reality after the voting. But where do we need as Christians now to be as a result of that? And how is God calling us to serve him and not to be caught up in the world, but because we are in the world, but not of it, you know?
That's true. And that's well said.
How does that look?
And it's time to organize and energize and not just stand on the sidelines hoping and wishing.
Exactly. And so mm-hmm. the next three programs, we're going to be looking at three separate elements that we believe God has put on our hearts to say to the church, you really need to be involved in doing this.
Right.
So the theme for tonight is pray relentlessly in faith. And Pastor Barry is going to read... from 1 Thessalonians, just a little bit of scripture that is going to take us into our conversation.
A little bit, but quite powerful.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
This is 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you.
Amen.
The word of the Lord, David.
Thanks be to God. Mm. It is the word of the Lord. It applies, really. It's a very global application for all Christians in all circumstances. What does verse 18 say? All circumstances. So we're in a circumstance right now that's very specific.
Mm-hmm.
And the church, as we've said, we love God. We love his church. We're a part of it. And yet, if you love someone, and you see that they need help, you have to bring that truth to them, even while you're loving them, because to not say it is not love, actually. So it's tough love to say, church, there are several of you out there, Christians, that really need to realign yourself with God's will and to get deep into the Word, to find out and get deep in prayer. And this is where we're starting with prayer. And the word that I had, and this is what, okay, I made a little note here in our cheat sheets for each session. And I'm gonna ask you a question, Barry.
Okay.
You'll answer it. You answer it. But because I said here, we must take ownership of our Christianity, not sit back and think that God will do whatever He wants, whether we're involved or not.
Oh yeah.
So I mean, respond to that. What does that say to you?
What it says to me is, as a pastor, and you pastors out there will recognize this moment. You're at the pulpit, you have different projects and ministries popping up, and you need volunteers. I'd like some volunteers today to step up and take over this committee. And that's when you really have an intense study of cricket sounds.
yeah, exactly.
Before we went on the air, I was talking to David about something that every church organization has this. I call them pew sitters. And these are folks that they're very good at going to church every Sunday, and yet they leave and other people take over all the duties. What's the old expression? Let George do it?
Yeah.
You know, I got to go home. I've done my time. And it sounds like an obligatory relationship with Christ. Not a very enthusiastic one. Not too deep. But the expression, I got to go to church. I have to go to church.
I have, right.
Yeah, I can't see that football game today. I have to go to church. I can't go out with you Wednesday night. I have to go to church. No, you should want to go to church. You should look forward to it. Where's the enthusiasm here?
Absolutely. Yeah, well, and, you know, this is what you're speaking of is a church culture that, again, this is from this Dave's view of church history, but
I haven't read that book.
You haven't read that? No, well, it's still in production.
And, okay.
You know, but you can actually study church history and see what I'm saying is mm-hmm. true. But that there was a time in the development when the church, as probably halfway through the first, or at the end of the first millennium, let's say, is a good point to go back and see. That by the year 1001, if you will, the church was pretty well established, you know, authoritatively, hierarchically, and there's much good going on. There's no question about it. But in many places, where the church was growing, because it was getting so big, you had to have people hold offices. Okay. You know, and back then it was just the Catholic Church. There was nobody else. So you had the Pope. You had the cardinals, the archbishops, the bishops, the monsignors, the priests, all that hierarchical. And almost all of those people came from noble families or families of wealth. And as part of that kind of attitude was because they lived at a societal level way above those who worked for them, who were often unlettered, ignorant, you know, not very stupid, but they didn't know a whole lot. They were grunt workers.
Yeah.
And yes, they came to church, but they were not seen as being a viable community because the whole idea of ministry had shifted to the professional ranks back then.
Mm.
And frankly, you know, it's still a pretty profound model today. So there really emerged kind of an intent to say, you know, these people don't really know what's going on. Mm. Now, this is where the devil gets in. We're smart. I mean, we're educated. You know, we can read. We can afford books. We can do all of this stuff. And these people, you know, they just come to church, throw a few shekels in the plate, you know, but that we really can't trust them to run the church. And so that gulf widened. It's almost like a socialist country, you know, where people love socialism until they have to live under it. And, you know, then you have the two ruling, you have two classes, the ruling class, the elites, the wealthy, and then you have the people who are under the thumb of the wealthy elites.
Right. And we see that today.
We see it in many countries.
Oh, yeah.
So, but that's kind of an attitude that was there. And so the whole idea of someone in the pew possibly being called of God to do something significant was often not, that wasn't entirely, you know, eliminated, because we have some of the saints of the early, you know, the first 1500 years of the church.
Well, St. Francis just came to mind.
St. Francis came to mind, and God mm-hmm. lifted people out to challenge that. So God's always mm-hmm. done that. But for the average person, you have that culture.
Mm-hmm.
And to some extent, it's still alive today in where people are, they come to Christ. They're excited about their new relationship with Jesus. They want to do something. But they've already been inculcated with the idea that, well, I'm not ordained, so what good am I? You know, I'll run a bake sale. I'll get a car wash going.
I'll do the pancake breakfast.
Yeah, which, not to say that's bad, because there are many good active Christians that sure. involve themselves in that. But if they see it as a limiting, if they don't see, well, God's not going to send me to the heights, I see my pastor, you know. And so they don't take ownership over their faith because they aren't encouraged to.
And if you don't own it, how can you evangelize?
Exactly right.
You can't evangelize because you're A, feeling untrained, unworthy, and you're going to let a professional go about doing that.
And it may very well be in some people's cases, either from a denominational standpoint or in that particular church, that the leadership doesn't have a vision to train people to evangelize,
mm-hmm.
you know, beyond saying, you know, call up a neighbor and bring him to church. Well, that's not a bad beginning, but that's only the shred of evangelism. We know,
sure.
but teaching people to go out in the streets and share their faith, yes, that's happening a lot more. I'm not disparaging anybody that does that, but there are some places where it's not encouraged.
Mm-hmm.
See, and I want you to, you got something you need to say. I can see it boiling up inside of you, but don't let me forget that I have something I want to bring in.
People will receive a calling, a spiritual calling from God. And one of the saddest things is to see someone who is responding to their calling, and for one reason or another, they're discouraged.
Yeah.
I want to talk about our friend Tom for a minute, because, you know, he's just so famous. And
he
Tom,
is.
I know you're going to listen to this. And you had a calling for quite some time, Tom.
Yeah, right.
And but you were not a priest, you were not a deacon, you were not a trained pastor or anything like that. But you are the individual who stuck it out, because
right.
you couldn't tell God no. And you had no desire to tell God no. And you put up with the rejections and the suppression and everything else that comes along with that. And you were just loyal to God and the calling, and you came through it.
That's right.
I mentioned him because we don't know how many people, David, that are out there that timidly might have said, no, you know, I know God's calling me, and I don't know who to talk to about this or how to go about it, but, you know, I need to do this. And along comes someone who may have an ego, an opinion about someone's mental capabilities, their
yeah.
IQ, whatnot. But from what I know of my God and my Bible, He selects people from every walk of life.
Mm-hmm.
He selects people with, you know, either brilliant minds or struggling minds. It doesn't matter, because He plugs them into service.
Right.
He does. And, you know, it just makes me a little frustrated sometimes when I see people who are put back on a shelf or put back in the pew.
Right.
So that's okay, we got this, because maybe that person who's quote-unquote in charge, in his opinion, they're not worthy, or they're just not talented enough.
And that's unfortunate. And to get back to the theme of our program tonight, which is pray relentlessly in faith. Now, Tom is an example of that, because
yes, he is.
Before he even approached anyone about ordination, he prayed. mm-hmm. you know, and he knew that he would have a lot of barriers because of his physical disability.
Sure.
And so, and of course, we know that sometimes God's will is worked out over a period of time longer than we originally thought,
right?
Because we trust God, right? But so maybe 30 years down the road or a little more, Tom was ordained. Finally, mm-hmm. we've ordained him to the diaconate and then the priesthood. But the point is, it's not just about people who want to be ordained that this, what we're saying, works. In other words, praying in faith.
Mm-hmm.
Because everybody who has been baptized has a call from God. In fact, God intended for you to have a ministry or a series of spiritual gifts before you were even born.
That's
God
true,
had
David.
Worked that out. So what God does expect us to do, and it's, and he also gives us a lot of hints along the way, you know, that finally when we realize what God wants us to do, we'll say, oh, that's what that stuff was all about.
Right.
But that to take ownership over our faith, our life in Christ, and it's going to come through prayers to recognize what that means, it must be, we must be on our knees. Because no one, I don't care who you are, or I may be speaking, we may be speaking to the most, or the person who has the least idea that they have anything to offer God. Right?
Well said, because we don't know how their walk in their life has been up to this point, the way they were raised, whether they were raised in a household where they were marginalized. You don't know. But you know, I do know this, that when people pray without ceasing, when they're rejoiceful, when they're then they're giving thanks in all circumstances, they are preaching the gospel in that respect, in the way in which they're living their lives.
Right.
I've had young folks tell me that they came to Christ by watching other Christians do just this in all circumstances. And they were curious. Right. Wait a minute. You know, they had the same bad news that my friend has, and yet they're still giving God praises, or they're thankful.
Yeah.
They're still praying. They didn't stop speaking to God.
They saw what those issues in their lives were through the lens of faith.
That's right, and they want that.
And everybody does, I think. I mean, maybe not everybody thinks they do.
Well, they may not verbalize that.
They not, but in your heart of hearts, listeners, think for a minute. You've got, this is resonating with the truth that God put there. You know, even, what is it, you know, the desires of our hearts. God's put them in there, and we, it's really cool when you discover what they are.
You know, like you, David, I'm a chaplain. You were a chaplain for quite some time. And
yep. Several times.
Several times. And I had a group of elderly people that surprised me. I shouldn't be surprised, but if you folks think that nursing homes are just a bunch of people laying their beds, barely lifting a finger once during the day, you're wrong. Some of these folks still have an active life. And we have church services in the nursing homes. And I walked in one time, and they were having church without me, David. They set up the altar. They got their Bibles out. They were in there singing before I ever got there.
Wow.
And I just stepped back and watched. Now, none of them were preachers, ministers, pastors.
Yeah.
They were Christians. And they took it upon themselves, we're not going to wait till that crazy guy gets here. We're going to have church now. So they had been singing hymns together and sharing praise reports and praying together for each other without me. And that's a good thing.
That's what leadership should be doing, is giving people the encouragement to do what they can do.
Mm-hmm.
And listen to God to do what they should do without you looking over their shoulder.
Yeah, right.
And of course, there are some things only you can do as a leader, but...
True.
But that's what they were doing, is what was right for them.
You know, they could teach all of us a lot. We sometimes will put some of these old people in up on the shelf with the dusty old books, you know, and we could still learn a lot from a 90-year-old. A 90-year-old Christian that's been through everything has a lot to teach.
Absolutely has a lot to teach.
And, you know, it's so wonderful when you peek in a room and you see someone in their late 80s, early 90s with their hands folded in prayer, and you never want to interrupt that. You know, you think, okay, how many years have they been talking to the Lord?
Wow.
You know, it's a beautiful moment.
It is a beautiful moment. And that's part of, you know, what the more we pray, the more we want to pray. You know, that's critical, too.
There you go. Want to, not have to.
Want to. Yeah, I love to get. Now, sometimes because of my nature, you know me, I'm always on the move. you know, I don't think that'll ever change. But because of that, there's always stuff to do. But I have to, and the Lord will remind me, I haven't heard from you. It says, not that I really want to know what you have to say, but I want you to be quiet so I can speak to you and to have this intimacy, you know. And so,
well, it's a conversation.
It is. Mostly it's him. Mm-hmm. Mostly it's a divine monologue. But, you know, it often starts with me opening it up. And, you know, he knows I've got petitions and stuff and concerns. But then it becomes just a presence, being in his presence and sharing.
I don't know about you, David, but there are times when I kneel down to pray and the words don't come out. And it's just me sharing my heart with him.
Yeah.
It's a wordless prayer. And sometimes I'm just in awe.
It is. It's
and
awesome.
I can't get the words out because, you know, folks, let's realize one thing. We're praying to the God of the universe.
Yes. The only God, by the way.
The
only God.
Not some guy down the hall. We're talking about the God of the universe.
Amen.
Is taking time to listen to your prayers.
And he wants to hear from you.
Yeah.
So get over the idea that God is so great, he doesn't really care about you. Because all we're saying tonight really gets back into, you know, your relationship with God. He is going to tell you, I promise you this, we promise you this. He's going to tell you what you need to hear, what you need to know on a variety of fronts, maybe not all at once. But he's going to want to get you up and running to because he wants his children out there in the world saying with him, I believe what God is doing. I believe in God. I believe his work is perfect. His plan is perfect. I believe his son came and died for us on the cross so that we could be saved. I believe his resurrection on the third day points to our resurrection because we are in him. And that the world needs, how else? I mean, so nobody has, even people that can't move, you know, like a lot of Barry's, the residents in the nursing homes that he ministers in, some of them are bedbound.
Sure.
But they can be active in their faith, and many are. Talk about the one praying. What a witness, you know.
And they pray for WCNO, David.
Oh, yeah, I know. That's so cool.
Yeah.
Their prayers are being, God is certainly hearing their prayers. So before we have about 3 minutes before we have to end this, two things. If you want to contact us, we have an email you can use.
We do. And what is that, David?
Nobody knows it yet, apparently. We got one email several months ago. And thank you, Joel. Appreciate that. It's gloriousdayradio@outlook.com. That's gloriousdayradio@outlook.com. Mm-hmm. And you can write to Pastor Barry or myself, Pastor Dave. And whatever you want to say, you know,
sure.
Questions, comments,
ideas,
you know, we're big boys, so we can take even complaints and stuff, and we'll be happy to respond.
We won't cry on the air.
We won't cry on the air. The other thing, it's a kind of a disclaimer, we should mention it more, because I know Barry and I are in a denomination in Protestantism. I want to tell you that. Now, the Protestant church is quite wide. There's at least 15,000 denominations, of which ours
is all?
One. Is that all? Well, maybe today it's 15,001. I don't know. But because the language we use to describe our ordained offices.
Oh, okay.
In other words, because we have many listeners. I don't think we have many Catholic listeners. We might. That's fine. Welcome to the club.
Sure.
But some of our Protestant listeners get a little twitchy when they hear bishop, priest, deacon as ordained offices, because that sounds Catholic.
It does.
Now, we don't have anything against the Catholic Church, but we want you to, if you're listening and you know you started twitching because you heard that and wondering if you're questioning then the veracity of anything else we say, is we, in our tradition, which comes from an Anglican tradition, which is the Church of England, which we do not affiliate with, by the way, nor have any connection in any way except for the shape of our worship and the titles of our ordained ministries, because we are basically Bible-believing, gospel-preaching Christians who love Jesus.
Amen, brother.
And, you know, so you know that. But so if you're hearing these titles, you know, Barry and I are bishops in our denomination. We have priests we've ordained. We have an archbishop, a lovely elderly man. He's probably not listening. He's, well, he's elderly, I guess. If you're 10 years old, he's elderly. But that being said, you know, we all came together because we wanted to serve the Lord. It was not our idea to form this denomination, mm-hmm. which is called the Emmanuel Communion. And you can reach us online at eacommunion.com, I believe, eacommunion.com. And you'll see some who we are, what we believe.
Yeah, you might even see a picture of
us. You might even see a picture of us, and we are dressed as traditional bishop's garbs. But the point being, and I have to say this because we're just Bible-believing Christians, and if you can't tell that by the content of our stuff, then maybe, I thought maybe you could use a little extra help. But that's the way it is. We have 2 minutes, 2.5 minutes, Barry. Any last words on this theme of praying relentlessly in faith?
If you seek continuous prayer, if you're not continuously praying, but you're seeking that, give yourself some time, because it takes a little getting used to get out there or get on your knees 3-4 times a day and pray. Yeah. But sometimes prayers are while you're in traffic, when you're at a restaurant, when you're just doing your lawn, but you're having a conversation in your mind with God, you're connecting up with God. And that's relationship building, and it's relationship strengthening. And don't feel you need to do this in a profoundly prolific way. Sometimes it's just, hey, God, thank you for the lunch I had today, which is great. You know, thank Amen. You for my friends. Can I wrap us up in a prayer, David?
Yes, by all means.
Holy Father, we come to you today with our hands held out for strength. The strength to be the Christian that you have authentically made, the Christian that we want to be, not just sitting on our hands, not just praying because we have to, not giving you thanks sometimes, but the kind of Christian that's on fire for you, the kind of Christian who lives their life in an example that others will say, that person there must be a Christian.
Amen.
Amen.
Wow. Thank you. Thanks for listening. We'll be back next week again with the second iteration of our How We're Going to Help Our Brothers and Sisters After the Midterms.
Amen. Good night, Tom.
Good night.
Join us again next Sunday at 5:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m.
Diving deep with us into God's holy word,
that we might all be encouraged, strengthened, edified,
and receive renewed hope that the Lord is on the move
and his perfect plan is unfolding in our time.